Hello, Katie. So Katie will explain some particularities of Python, and because Python was based on some other languages, and maybe
there's no Python in this talk.
Okay, it's Perl or Java or something like that.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not in the good room. Sorry. Bye.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Let's talk about JavaScript. I only have 25 minutes. In JavaScript, what is 4 plus 2? It's 6. What is 4 minus 2? It's 2. What is 4 minus the string 2? It's 2. So, of course, 4 plus the string 2 is 42. Let's talk about JavaScript. In JavaScript, is 1 equal to the string 1? Hands up for true. Hands up for false. It's true. But if you add an extra equals, it's true. It's false. It's fine. Everything's fine. Let's talk about JavaScript. In JavaScript, what is the sum of two empty arrays? It's an empty string. What's the sum of an empty array and an empty object? Object, object. What about the sum of an empty object and an empty array? Zero. What about the sum of two empty objects? Not a number. I see you have seen this talk before. Or Gary Bernhardt's WAT talk, which is now over a decade old. I'm sorry. It was from 2012. That talk goes on the WATs. I want to do something more. I want to talk about the why. We're going to focus on the why during this talk and work out what the heck was all that. But more specifically, does Python have the same problems? Ooh. So in this example, it's an issue of overloaded operators. The first one, we have implicit coercion. Subtraction is only defined for numerics, so it coerces the string into a number. The second one, it's the plus operator that is overloaded. It can act as both numeric addition or, in this case, string concatenation. In JavaScript, double equals will only compare the values after it coerces them into the same type, but triple equals will also confirm that the types are equal and exit early if they're not. And our third case is a little bit more complicated than this. So, to explain this, we're going to have to dive more into the addition operator. What does it do exactly? Well, thankfully, we have a way to know exactly what the plus does in JavaScript, thanks to ECMAScript 2024 standard specification as defined by ECMA 262. This is a standard that defines the JavaScript you use in the browser today, and it covers JScript as well as ActionScript. And within that standard, we can go into section 13.8.1, which denotes that we can then go into the runtime semantics, which then denotes that we can go into evaluate string or non-numeric binary expression. If we go there, it says apply string or non-numeric binary expression, and from there, it says exactly what we need to do. Just that. Now, if a language has a standard, you probably won't learn how to use the language by trying to read this. But for our purposes, it's useful to see like what a standard looks like. But let me simplify this down. Consider the addition of two placeholder values A and B. Step one, convert A and B to primitives. If, after converting, A or B are a string, then concatenate them together. Otherwise, convert both to numbers and then return the operation, in this case, plus. Who can see where the problem starts? To primitive is also its own separate defined method, where if it is an object, then first try to get the value of that object, and if that itself is not an object, then return it. Otherwise, cast the object to a string and then return it, and if it wasn't an object in the first place, then you're fine, you're already in a primitive. So, let's try one of our examples, empty array and empty object. According to our algorithm, the first thing we need to do is convert both to primitives. So, bringing up that algorithm, we start by converting the empty array into a primitive. So, we try the type of, which is an object, so we have to go further, and so we check the value of. And the value of an empty list is an empty list, and if we cast that to a string, it's an empty string. Well, how does that work? Well, this is defined because if you take an array and you go toString on it, it calls the join of all the elements in that string. So if we join the array 1, 2, 3, we'll get 1, 2, 3. And if it's an empty string, empty list, it will be an empty string. This makes sense. So we can do the exact same thing to object. We first check What's the type of an object? It's an object. And what is the value of that? Well, it's still the same squiggly brackets. Hello again. And then if we try to cast that to a string, of course we get object, object. Well, how does that happen? Well, again, it's defined. If you call toString from an object, the method will return the string object tag, where tag is determined by the object type, or in this case, literally the string object. So in JavaScript, anytime you try to do a toString on an object and you get this, mostly in your console error logs, that is what is supposed to happen. A lot of programming languages will instead have this type of method give a string-based representation of the contents of the object, but here it's helpfully telling you, yes, I am object. You can use core JavaScript to get the contents of an object by using stringify instead. JSON.stringify will give you a stringy representation of the contents of an object. So, we know what the primitive types for our two objects are, and so we can start putting them together. We can concatenate an empty string, an empty object, and so we know that the concatenation of an empty list and an empty object is object, object. Great, and we can do the same thing for two empty lists. We can concatenate their two primitives together, and we know that it's an empty string. But what about the other permutations? Because we know that they don't match, and we would presume that in JavaScript, addition would be commutative. A and B is the same as B plus A. So based on our knowledge, we know that something's not right here. But guess what? That's defined in the specifications as well, because in the runtime semantics, it says what to do if you have an empty object, or in this case, an empty block, is to return empty. So when we have an empty object here, that's actually being interpreted as an empty block. So when we try to do anything with an empty block, it actually does unary addition, which tries to then, as per the specifications, cast it to a number. And in this case, we know that the primitive of this is an empty string, and an empty string is falsy, and so it's zero. And that is actually defined as what happens when you have a white space is to return zero. So if we try to do the same thing with our object, we're trying to add together two objects, which is actually an empty block and a unary addition of an object, and we know that the primitive of the object starts with a bracket, which is not a number. And therefore, we have our entire collection of things. We know exactly what's going on, except I cheated. Earlier, I was wrapping the objects in parentheses to make sure that I could actually get the value of an empty object as opposed to an empty block. And so this original example will run correctly if you actually use variables and not just throw this in a REPL, because those last two examples are doing strange things. So you can actually preserve commutivity if you use parentheses. Ta-da! So now's the question. Does Python have this particular peculiarity? Is Python prone to this same potential problem, perhaps? Well, in Python, what is the concatenation of two empty lists? It's an empty list. What about the concatenation of an empty list and an empty dictionary? It's a type error. What about the concatenation of an empty dictionary and an empty list? It's a type error. What about the concatenation of two empty dictionaries? It's a type error. But different type errors. So to see what's going on here, we're going to have to look at the Python standard. Now, Python, like a few modern programming languages, doesn't have a capital S standard. Some languages have standards held by bodies like ISO, ECMA, IEEE, etc., but some have de facto standards. And in PHP, we have Python enhancement proposals, and we have the de facto standard, which is the CPython implementation of Python, which we can reference. And in CPython, there is the Python standard library, and within that, there is documentation for sequence types, that being list, tuple, and range, and within that, it includes that the plus parameter does concatenation of two types. And if we were to search the source code for this error, can only concatenate list, we would get the CPython C implementation of what list concatenation does, and the first thing it does is goes, if B is not a list, And we can also see this within Python itself in a roundabout way, because the Python language refers to special method names, also known as double underscores, or in Australia, dun-da, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. So these double underscore methods, in this case we have dunda add, which is defined for all the other infix operators as well, multiplication, subtraction, etc. We can check, well, this is a type of list, and what we can do is instead of having the infix operator between our two lists, we can go list.dundaAdd our two lists and get the same result. And there are many other dunda methods implemented in Python, including the docstring, which will give you what the docstring of the concatenation method dundaAdd is in the Python implementation, which is overloaded by other things. Foreshadowing is a literary device where we can also use this same logic to check our other concatenation methods. In this case, we can see that this is a dict, and if we go dunda add on a dict, we can see that it's attribute error. This is not implemented. This also explains why the different type errors were getting different descriptions depending on whether we were list forward or dict forward. Take a drink of water, Katie. All right, let's talk about Java. In Java, if I declare an integer A as 127 and an integer B as 127, is A equal to B? Hands up for true, hands up for false. Guys, come on. In Java, if I declare an integer A as 128 and B as 128, is A equal to B? Hands up for true, hands up for false. There we go, we're learning. So let's talk about Java. When you're running Java, you're probably running something like OpenJDK, and in OpenJDK, there is an optimization to create a list of integers for you from negative 128 to 127, and if you define an integer within this cache, it points to that part of memory. But in this case, we're using integers, and double equals for capital I integers is identity checking. And if you declare your integers outside of this cache, you will actually point to other parts of memory, and these are not the same object, and so an identity check fails. If you're working with capital I integers in Java, you need to use dot equals to check for equality, but if you drop down to ints, you can actually do double equals as being equality. So Python doesn't have this issue, right? If I declare in Python the variable A as 256 and B as 256, is A B? Hands up for true, hands up for false. It's true, oh my god. There's no trick questions. If I declare in Python variable A is 257 and B is 257, is A B? Hands up for true, hands up for false. Great, but if I declare them on the same line and then check again, they are. Let's talk about Python. In Python, when you load the interpreter, you're probably using CPython, and an optimization of CPython is to create a list of integers from negative 5 to 256 for you. And when you assign that variable, it can point to that part of memory. So when we declare A and B as 256, we're pointing to that same part of memory, and if we ask for is, it's an identity check. Are these actually the same thing? Not that their representative values are equal. Is this the same thing? And in this case, they are. But if we declare our variables outside of this integer cache range, we're assigning them to different parts of memory, and so they are not the same object, except if you define them on the same line, an optimization only allocates the memory once, and so an identity check succeeds. The way to avoid this in Python is simple. Don't use is, use equals. If you want to check it for equality, use equality. Equality. Double equals. Equality is the same in every language, right? Let's talk about Perl. In Perl, if I want to check if the string A is equal to string B, I can do a print statement and tell me if they match or not. So, who thinks that this will print match? Who thinks that this won't print anything? What do you mean A is equal to B? In Perl, if we want to check for numeric equality, then we use double equals. And in this case, in Perl, it will cast both sides to numbers. So if we actually want to do string equality in Perl, we should use EQ to make sure that we're actually working in the type we meant. Let's talk about bash. In bash, I can use conditions to test values. So I can do if A is equal to B, then print match, otherwise print nothing. Who thinks this will print match? Who thinks this won't? What do you mean they match? Because in bash, EQ and NE are arithmetic binary operators, because they will cast the things as if they were numbers. And in this case, A and B both cast down to zero, and so they're the same. So in bash, you should use double equals for string equality. Double equals is the same everywhere, y'all. So, does Python have this particular issue? Well, at the very least, double equals and done to EQ, they're the same. They're the exact same thing, so we don't have to worry about that. But what does this actually do? Well, by default, object implements done to EQ as an identity check. It's onto the lower level of objects to define what EQ means for them. Different standard types will override this implementation depending on what's logical. So maybe for some complex class that you've had, you'd implement your own, where it's like check that the first and last name are the same and then this is the same person or something like that. You can override this. But without overriding, with just using the standard language, we had some problems. Thankfully, had. Let's talk about Python 2. In Python 2, is 4 less than 2? No. Okay, so cool. Python 2 knows math. Great. So we know that 4 is greater than 2. Yes. Okay, excellent. So is 4 greater than the string 2? No. So the string 4, is that greater than 2? Well, yes. Let's keep going. Is 4 less than a list of just 4? Yes. Is it also less than a string of 4? Yes. Is it also less than a tuple of just 4? Yes. Let's talk about Python 2. Python 2.7 defines comparisons thusly. Objects of different types, except different numeric types and different string types, never compare equal. Such objects are ordered consistently but arbitrarily so that sorting a heterogeneous array yields a consistent result. A CPython implementation detail of that. Different types except numbers are ordered by their type names. An integer comes before a list, comes before a string, comes before a tuple. Now, I think we all understand that the way to avoid this is, good God, it's been 5 years, please stop using Python 2. Yes? Agreed? Okay, great. Good. Yes. Okay, great. If you've only ever had to use Python 3, great. That's great. You've never had to deal with this. Particularly because if you try to do the same thing in Python 3, you get a type error. Yay! Saying that the less than is not supported between instances of int and list. And very helpfully, the Python 3 tutorial says in the data structures section, rather than providing an arbitrary ordering, the interpreter will raise a type error. Amazing. Excellent. One less bugbear to worry about. Let's talk about Elixir. In Elixir, if I want to map over a range, and in this case, for every element in this range, I want to get the square number, I'd get a list of the first 5 square numbers. Yep, cool. If I did the same thing, but changed the range from 1 to 5 to be 6 to 10, I get swearing. Well, something's going on here. Let's investigate further. If instead I was to assign the result of this mapping into a variable and then iterate over that variable and use io.puts, I would get the expected list of numbers. So why did our first example break and our second one didn't? Well, let's try a different range. Let's say random numbers off the top of my head are 65 to 90, and we'll just return as is. For those who aren't familiar with different encoding standards, good, but also let me teach you that in 8-bit variable encoding ASCII, ASCII starts at sequence capital A is 65, of an available 255 characters. So we get the alphabet, because ASCII is cool. Elixir was built on top of Erlang, and Erlang dates back to the mid-80s, and in many languages, strings are just a list of characters, but in Erlang, strings are a list of integers representing their ASCII character code points. So in Elixir, if it sees a list of numbers that look like ASCII code points, it thinks it's a string. Cool. Does Python have this problem? In Python, if I import datetime from the standard library and have a variable now as datetime now, and I print the result of now, I get a nicely formatted date for my particular locale. And if I ask just for now, I get something that looks very weird to anyone who's not a programmer. One of these is human readable. The other one might get confusing as it appears printed on a receipt from a coffee shop. Ask me how I know. In this case, when we print, we're getting the string representation of an object, something which is readable. But when we don't print, we're getting the repr or representation, which clearly defines that this is a datetime object. It's important to remember this one if you're working in the Python shell or a REPL or a Python notebook, because if you just try to get the repr of an object as your output, it will not work if you try to convert it to a script, and it may or may not return a different output to what a string representation would. Ask me how I know. Let's talk about PowerShell. This is the last one. In PowerShell, if I check if 36 is greater than 42, print true or print false. Who thinks this will be true? Who thinks that this will be false? Great. PowerShell understands math. We all understand math. This is great. So if I try the reverse, if I try is 32 less than 42, who thinks this will print true? Who thinks this will print false? So PowerShell is a combination compiler and interpreter, and in this case, that isn't greater than. That is file redirection. I have a file called 42 with the contents of 36. But in this case, the file redirection operation was successful and returned no value, but because no value is falsy, the false side of the conditional was invoked. So, the PowerShell docs say the greater than operator shouldn't be confused with the greater than comparison operator, as often denoted by alligators in other languages, and then it shows an example. It shows my example because the PowerShell docs are open source. I got code in PowerShell before I got code in ZPython. Jesus. The way to avoid this is to use actual comparison operators, because like PowerShell and like other languages, you don't have to remember which way the crocodile goes. The crocodile eats the bigger number. So, does Python have this issue? In Python, if I check if 36 is greater than 42 and print the result, we get false. Going the other way, we get true. And we can check our local file system. Great, no files were created. Except, we've just proven the case for integers. What about other objects? In Python, if I declare a dictionary of A1 and a dictionary of B2, what is A pipe B? It's a union, because we have unions now as of Python 3.9. If you're using a version older than Python 3.9, please upgrade, then you have no more security updates. 3.9 is great. But this is a new infix operator as per a newer version of Python. But there are other infix operators that do strange things, such as pathlib. If I import path from pathlib and I define p as a path, and I put this path betwixt two normal strings, I get a POSIX path. And if I take a string or stringy type object and redirect that into that path, I get a type error. For now. There's nothing stopping us from implementing this in later versions. We've gone through a number of things, but hopefully you've learned something new, and be curious with other programming languages. If you're a Python purist, great, but I know a bunch of different languages. It's helped me understand more about Python along the way. Resources are up there. I'm out of time. Questions outside? Cheers.